Everyone,
morning.
Are we okay? Happy 2025. Can you believe it? That's a quarter of the way through the 21st century. I know. At what point do you think Jesus starts getting a bit impatient up there, going, maybe it's time? I don't know. I don't know how it works. Just turn to someone nearby and ideally someone you don't know particularly well and just say Happy New Year. I know some of you hate that, but I think it's a nice thing to do. Okay. Starting to feel like the end of the meeting, isn't it? I'm like, how do we recover? By the way, where's Matt? Where's Matt Ingham? Is he still, there's little Matthew. The young people have made themselves some hot chocolate with marshmallows. They've over-catered. In fact, shall we, let's encourage them to come and join us, shall we? We'd love you guys to come and join us. If there's anyone who would love a hot chocolate with marshmallows, put up your hand. There's a few over here. Do you reckon they're saying no? You've got to go and get it yourself. There are hot chocolates with marshmallows out there. Thank you, Matt, for doing that. Do you remember Storm Dara? Oh, that was wild, wasn't it? That was a proper storm. I don't remember one quite like that. I guess you guys had it pretty bad. That was about a month or so ago, wasn't it? And in our little small group with the Perrinses, the top of our chimney came off in it. And I thought, well, if that's the worst of it, we've got lucky here, because the Perrinses were texting in saying they'd lost all their electricity and it seemed to go day after day and it wasn't coming back. And I'm not going to lie to you. I think yours went off on the Friday. And by the Sunday, I was starting to feel a little bit smug going, we're fine down here in Gowerton. and then ours went off at lunchtime on the Sunday. And stayed off for 2 days. And when you've got little children, for about 30 minutes, it's fun, right? You find the drawer with the candles and you light some candles and you play some charades. And the novelty quickly wears off. Two of our three children at that time had chicken pox as well, so weren't in the best. It was, in a literal and metaphorical sense, a dark moment for us in 2024. But during those couple of days, where my parents stepped in and rescued us on night, we just got to night two, like we can't do another night by candlelight in the cold with the children ill. We're decamping to my parents' house, which was a traumatic experience in and of itself. But through that time, I was listening to the new album by Coldplay. Who's listened to the new album? It's called Moon Music. I feel like Chris and the boys have done themselves proud once again. I was listening to that album, and that album introduced me to someone who I feel like, given that I'm married to an English teacher, someone I should really know a lot more about, called Maya Angelou. Is this someone who's on your radar? You're all nodding. Not only are you nodding, Rachel, we're kind of like bowing down. So I was introduced to some of the work of Maya Angelou through that Coldplay album. And in the mix of all of that stuff going on, sitting there by candlelight, I just kept getting this image of rainbows. And I just started thinking, maybe this is something that needs to be shared at the start of 2025. So I'm gonna begin by reading to us from the scriptures that story that I'm guessing everybody in this room is pretty familiar with. Noah and the ark, and kind of humanity turning its back on God, but God choosing or recognizing there was this remnant in the family of Noah that was kind of holding on to being true and honoring God and who he is, and say, I'm going to rescue you and I'm going to use you to bless a new humanity, to be fruitful and to prosper through building an ark and a flood and rescuing animals and creation. So I'm guessing that we all know the story well enough for me to be able to jump to the conclusion of the story. So I'm going to jump to chapter 9 of the book of Genesis, and we're going to read together. How many of you have a Bible with you? Well done. I still feel proud of people who physically bring Bibles to church. I don't think it really matters, but... and I think we're going to bring something up on the screen as well. Yeah, there it is. So I'm reading to you from chapter 9 of the book of Genesis. So this is the tail end of that story, the conclusion of Noah and the ark and God rescuing Noah's family. It's a good job that ark floated, is what I reread through this story. And I thought, he wasn't an expert in building boats. And he built it nowhere near water to test out what he was doing. Isn't it? I mean, we should all be grateful that thing floated. It did float. And this is what happened afterwards. Then God blessed Noah and his sons, saying to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the earth. The fear and dread of you will fall upon all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air, upon every creature that moves along the ground, and upon all the fish of the sea that are given into your hands. Everything that lives and moves will be food for you. Just as I gave you the green plants." And God said, "This is the sign of the covenant I am making between me and you and every living creature with you, a covenant for all generations to come." That includes us, therefore. "I have set my rainbow in the clouds, and it will be the sign of the covenant between me and the earth. Whenever I bring clouds over the earth and the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will remember my covenant between me and you and all living creatures of every kind. Never again will the waters become a flood to destroy all life. Whenever the rainbow appears in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and all living creatures of every kind on the earth." It's a story about a reset. It's a story about a new beginning. It's a story about a new humanity and God choosing to bless that new humanity. All of it, not just the human beings, all of creation. Before we start thinking about 2025, and I'm not going to speak for long, I promise. I just thought it'd be useful just to reflect back, for you to reflect back on the year that has just passed, on 2024. What did that year look like for you? Perhaps you can remember where you were this time, the first Sunday of 2024. Lots of us were probably here. I haven't got a clue who was speaking that morning. I can't remember for the life of me what happened. Sorry if it was you speaking. You probably, at this point in 2024, had some hopes for the year, some aspirations for 2024, some plans for the year. And my guess is that perhaps some of them did come to fruition. My guess is there's probably some that didn't. I'm guessing there's stuff that happened to most of us in 2024 that we just didn't see coming. For most of us, it was probably a mixture of blessing and frustration and disappointment. There was a wonderful moment, I thought, at the end of the Gavin and Stacey finale. Can you believe a third of every adult, as in a third of all adults, not a third of... A third of all adults in this country on Christmas evening sat down and watched that. It's remarkable, isn't it? And I think, didn't they do a good job? There's this line in it, though, just when, right at the end, I think they're down at the docks and Smithy is trying to convince Nessa, if this means nothing to you, possibly Nigel, Gavin and Stacey, are you? Yeah, okay, great. I'm trying to imagine who the people are who wouldn't be down with Gavin and Stacey. And he's trying to convince Nessa that despite the fact their relationship is very complicated and despite the fact they haven't managed to figure out what it should look like after 17 years, it's okay. And he says, "I know it's messy and imperfect, but that's because we're messy and imperfect." Amazing line. Like in that one line, he kind of both captures the heart of all relationships, but also the heart of the human condition. It is, I felt like it's a modern day proverb for us, isn't it? It captures so much in that one line. What we're going to move on to after these next couple of weeks, this week, and we're going to baptize a bunch of people next week, which is so super cool. We're going to spend some time in the Proverbs. We're going to spend some time in that book, looking at these sentences that are just packed full of wisdom to carry us into our new year. But what I wanted to do this morning really was tell you a story. Because whilst I was listening to a lot of Coldplay and reading a little bit of Maya Angelou, and thinking about this story, a story that happened to me, our family, a couple of years ago, came into my mind. And I feel like this is the story that I feel like frames where I want us to be as a church in 2025. I'm going to use Coldplay to help me tell the story. And I'm also going to use a little bit of Maya Angelou to kind of plant some wisdom amongst us at the end of the story. So a couple of years ago, the Pates, this is Rachel Pate over here, invited us to go camping with them, which sounds great, doesn't it? I mean, it was great. But at this 2 years ago, between our two families, we had six children. We had six children. They were all under the age of six. It was the tail end of the summer, late August, and Sam was trying to convince us all it was a good idea to go camping with six children under the age of six. Our youngest, Johan, hadn't even turned one. I think he was about 8 months old. And it was that point in the year where, you know, it's technically still summer, but it's tail end of August now, and the nights are starting to draw in. The nights are definitely getting cold. First thing in the morning is even colder. And Naomi and I, we weren't entirely convinced that this was the greatest idea, to be taking this number of children this young camping when it's this cold. But those of you who know Sam Pate will know that he has this kind of contagious enthusiasm for adventure that we kind of relented to, and we said, okay, we're going to go camping. And we had an amazing time, but it wasn't without its challenges. There were a lot of children running in lots of different directions whilst we're trying to put up tents. The first night we had a storm, which was pretty wild. I remember just lying in my bed, mainly praying through the night that the tent wouldn't come down and making plans about what I would do if it did come down. But on the second night, the weather calmed down a little bit, but it did get very, very cold. And I remember we just away for two nights. This was our last night. And I was lying in my sleeping bag. I was fast asleep. I mean, obviously, I said, I remember it. I don't remember this bit. I was asleep. And I was couched up in a lovely, warm sleeping bag, fast asleep in the wee small hours of the night. And I started feeling a tugging on my sleeping bag. And it was our four-year-old, Oshan. Daddy, I need a wee. Daddy, I need a wee. That's not what you want when you're fast asleep in a tent. You know, when you wake up in the middle of the night in a tent and the last thing you want to do is unzip yourself from the warmth and the comfort and the coziness of your sleeping bag. Everything in me wanted to say, Oshan, look, there's a torch. There's the front of the tent. You can do this. But sometimes you just do what you got to do. And I did reluctantly just prise my eyes open just enough to drag myself out of the sleeping bag. And I grabbed his hand and we kind of slowly, without trying to wake anyone else up in the tent, went to the front of the tent. We've got one of those kind of nice bell tents like the hunters, you know, with the big zip at the front. And I mean, I was just hoping that any time in the next few seconds he'd have done his wee and I'd be back in that sleeping bag and fast asleep. I did not want to be up. And I'll never forget, we were holding hands and he stepped out of the tent in front of me and he looked up and he turned back to me and he pulled me out of the tent and he said, Daddy, look at the stars. Daddy, look at the stars. And I lifted up my eyes and I prized them wide open and we just stood there together holding hands going, ah. Wow, I did let him have a pee because he was busting. I even managed to get him to deflect it away from your tent. But we had a moment together holding hands when everyone else on that campsite was fast asleep. And it's a moment that I will cherish for the rest of my life. Me and my four-year-old just going, wow. Look at the stars. I didn't really want to get out of that sleeping bag. But I'm so glad I did. And I hope that for the rest of his life, whatever happens to him and wherever he goes, I'll always be able to see a little bit of that four-year-old boy who looked up at the stars and went, wow. We're just going to listen to the voice of Maya Angelou, who's going to speak over this track. When it looked like the sun wouldn't shine anymore, God put a rainbow in the clouds. We're going to worship together in a moment. We're going to lift up our eyes to this God who placed those stars in the sky. It's always a privilege for me to get to stand in front of you and scan your faces, because it always makes me very conscious of the fact that this is a room full of people who could tell story after story after story about times where it felt like the sun wouldn't shine anymore. But it's also a room full of stories about times where God placed a rainbow in the skies. The thing is, to experience the stars and to see a rainbow, you need to lift up your eyes. So as we come to worship this morning, I have two challenges for us as a church this year. The first one is this: what are you going to be intentional about in 2025 to maximize your chances of seeing the stars, of experiencing God, of experiencing beauty, of experiencing hope? I think for lots of us, the answer to that is really practical. It's about, who are we going to spend time with this year? I'm booking in a camping trip with the Pates. But I reckon for all of us, there are people in our lives that we know are good for us. We have relationships that we know encourage us. For some of us, we need to make a mental note of who those people are and say, I am going to commit to spending time with those people this year. I think for all of us, part of the answer to this is about those practices, those spiritual disciplines that we explored at the tail end of last year. You see, I think the disciplines, a lot of them are a little bit like unzipping yourself from that sleeping bag. Whether it's solitude or prayer or being committed to a community, reading the Bible. In the moment, it's not what you want to do. For most of us, choosing to commit to one of those disciplines is not the thing that you feel like you want to happen. But you see, the discipline isn't the end game. They're the pathways that take us to a place where we meet with God. For those of you who are in school or college at the moment, I reckon you all know the friends that you have who are good for you. The friends that you have who will stick by you and will encourage you to be the kind of person you know you should be. How are you going to this year choose to spend more time with those friends? For some of us, it's just about showing up, whatever that means to you. It's just about being present. Whereas perhaps for others, it's about retreat. It's about taking a step back. What does it look like for you this year to put practices and disciplines in your life that you know are good for you? Because unless we do that, we don't have a hope in what is my second challenge for us. Maya Angelou asks the question, how are you going to be the kind of person who places rainbows in other people's clouds? I don't think we do that on our own. I think we work with God in doing that. But we don't have a hope in doing that unless we do the first one and we look after ourselves. But both to see the stars and to see rainbows, we must lift up our eyes. So we're going to do that now. We're going to worship together. I'm going to pray for us, and then we'll see where we go. We're going to have communion as well. Father God, we choose this morning at the beginning of a new year, as we choose, in some sense, to reset, we choose to lift up our eyes. Father in heaven, we recognize that you are the Almighty God who placed those stars in the sky. Lord, I pray for more experiences of your majesty, your beauty this year. Lord, we choose to be people in 2025 who are taking steps towards becoming more like your Son, Jesus. Help us to spend time with you, to become more like you, and to do the things that you did. And I pray that you would fill each one of us here with your Spirit. Help us to hear your voice calling to us, lift up your eyes. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.